You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Absolutely, the American public should trust what the FBI is doing. It's not that the FBI is targeting any one side or the other. What you see is the FBI going out on a day-in, day-out basis, objectively investigating allegations of law.
Well, I think this is a red herring. I mean, when he pops up and tries to assure us that there's no political influence at the FBI, I think we should be a little worried because, you know, he is the guy that led an investigation into the President of the United States when there was no predication and there was no evidence that Donald Trump and his campaign had any relationship with Russian government.
So who do you believe? The first was Peter Stroke Smurf, former FBI agent, who obviously was biased against Trump, as he and his lover, Lisa Page, were sending text messages back, and Agent Smurf Stroke was saying, he won't get elected, we have a guarantee insurance policy, he won't. And I walked into Walmart and I could smell his people there. Or do you believe the second voice, that would be Matthew Whitaker, former acting AG under Trump? Take that question and go down the list. First, let me remind you, this is August 16, 2022. We are live streaming right now as I speak at rumble.com. You go to rumble.com, enter in the search engine, Larry Connors, USA, and you'll find our previous postings, and you'll be able to join us live in studio. If so, welcome. If you watch us later, we appreciate it. Rumble.com, Larry Connors, USA. So again, the question, who do you trust? Smurf or Whitaker? Agent Stroke Smurf. Take the question down the line, like I said. Biden, DOJ, AG, FBI, IRS. Who do you trust? Oh, now formal grammar would say, whom do you trust? But who is also acceptable, and I'll use whatever I want to since it's my program. I ain't going to violate no language I don't want to. That's my Texas accent, and I'll do it the way I want to. But the question remains, who do you trust? Any of those guys? Anybody? Bueller? Anybody? Now, A.G. Garland, after saying that we're going to be transparent about the Trump raid in that press conference last week, now has the DOJ fighting to keep the affidavit sealed. You do understand the attorney general is over the Department of Justice. So he's got his other attorneys fighting to keep it sealed. Now the federal judge, a magistrate judge, will make a ruling on if it should be kept sealed. As the government claims, well, it could be damaging information to the nation and some of those who were part of the source. No, that's exactly what we want. We want to see the source. But it's going to be heard in front of the same judge who signed off on the warrant and based on information given him by the FBI and DOJ. And remember, the allegations were that it might have classified documents relating to nuclear weapons were among the items seized from Mar-a-Lago, according to the so-called state-controlled media. You throw the word nuclear weapons in there, and oh my God, Trump has the codes. He's going to share them with everybody. The nuclear codes change constantly. But on top of that, obviously that was just another way to get you all ginned up, that it was perfectly right for them to raid. I told you the other day, I don't want to see just the search warrant. I don't want to see the receipt of what's taken. I want to see the affidavit, who gave them the information and how they backed it up. And our guest today, John Malcolm, constitutional expert, will be discussing legalities of that raid and keeping the warrant sealed. I mean the affidavit sealed. Also today, Biden is, of course, going to sign the Inflation Reduction Comedy Act. 87,000 new IRS agents. My guest today, Preston Brashears, Senate Senior Tax Policy Advisor with the Heritage Foundation on how those agents are going to be used. You want to guess? You're probably right. In the meantime, a response to questions, the White House is pushing back criticisms that the bill won't do what it claims it will do, but they won't really tell you what it claims it will do. And it's really a green energy bill. It's not an Inflation Reduction Act. And before we're done today, Pope Francis says Biden should question his own conscience when it comes to abortion. And then the Catholic rosary might be considered a symbol of religious radicals. The Catholic rosary? We got a lot to cover. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Your eyes are burning. You're sneezing. It's allergy season. Pollen readings are sky high. Heck, you can even see that yellow powder on everything. So that's also inside your air conditioning ducts. I suggest you call Wellington Environmental. Now, other companies will be glad to do the job, but they're going to come to your home or business, count the air ducts, and begin increasing the cost. In fact, the quoted price might even double. Wellington offers one price, no extras. You'll be charged exactly what Wellington quotes. So this is easy for you. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930. You will breathe easier. Wellington has a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
President Biden will sign the so-called Inflation Reduction Act at the White House today. The bill is expected to supersize the IRS $80 billion, multiplying the size or the annual budget of the IRS. That money is spent toward enhancing tax enforcement. Enhancing? We're using that word now, hiring an additional 87,000 new agents.
The legislative language is advisory in nature. It's non-binding. It says, let's not affect those people. Let's not audit them. And Republicans in the Senate in particular tried to strengthen that language. They introduced an amendment saying no additional audits for people making less than $400,000. Unanimously rejected by Democrats, of course. But here's the kicker. Had they passed that, according to the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, it would have had a $20 billion impact on the cost of the bill. So how can a provision that has no impact to the amount of audits, according to Democrats, have a $20 billion impact, according to the CBO? It just doesn't make sense if you believe the Democrats.
On top of that, it's a flat-out lie. We're going to break down the IRS segment a little bit more in detail later as well. But today, with Biden preparing to sign, as I call it, the Inflation Reduction Comedy Act, and even Democrats are acknowledging it's really more of a Green Deal. And when you look at for questions and clarification of what this is actually going to do, how's it going to reduce inflation, you know it's a Green Deal. They don't have the answers. Let me give you an example. Today, Congressman Jamie Raskin, Democrat in Maryland, said, as soon as this goes into effect, I hope all the provisions will begin to work. I know those who have been blaming Biden for the inflation going up are now going to give President Biden all of the credit for inflation going down. Then when he was asked, well, which parts of the bill will quickly work to reduce inflation? His answer, next question. That says it all, does it not? You were listening there at the end in that Fox report to Brandon Arnold. He's with the National Taxpayers Union, and he's acknowledging that the Democrats are trying to push the word inflation reduction. When it doesn't do that, it's going to end up targeting taxpayers because they got to raise money for everything they want to do. But they're claiming they're reducing tax. You don't reduce inflation by raising taxes, which is what they're doing, but they don't want you to know that. And what they are doing is making sure it gives them the greatest green climate revolutionary bill in history. Oh, they've proclaimed that. They've openly proclaimed it. But say that's really just part of it. We're really going to help the Americans by the American average American by reducing inflation. Well, I just told you, Congressman Raskin of Maryland was asked which parts of the bill will work quickly to reduce inflation. His answer, next question. You know how bad this has gotten right now? I'm looking at a CNN report. CNN's New Day, John Harwood, told anchors on board today that this $750 billion government spending bill to be signed by Joe Biden today was dubbed, quote, the Inflation Reduction Act as a ploy to get moderate Democrats like Senator Joe Manchin, Democrat in West Virginia, to support it. He also emphasized, again, this is John Harwood on CNN, this Inflation Reduction Act will have, quote, a negligible effect on lowering inflation. Negligible effect on lowering inflation. In other words, it ain't going to do it. They know that. And Biden knows it before he begins to sign it. They know it as it came out of the Senate, 51-50. VP Harris voting the tie-breaking vote. See, that's what you get when you put the Democrats in the White House and you have a 50-50 Senate, the VP gets to cast that vote. They knew it when it came out of the House. It's not really going to reduce inflation. And when questioned today, you just don't get any answer from them. They cannot give you any direct evidence. The White House continues pushing back against criticism. The bill won't do what the name suggests. It cites experts. Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget would say the bill overall will have a deflationary effect. And it also then points to, here we go. Tax credits for green energy. They'll go into effect immediately. And, of course, there will be health policies that hopefully will help save Americans some money. They threw that in again, just as they threw the title on it, according to the CNN source. The Inflation Reduction Act, trying to get Joe Manchin to sign on. They threw in, oh, and we're going to do something for the elderly and pharmaceutical meds to get you to agree with it. I began by asking, who do you trust? I ask it again. And then, in the midst of this bill, the IRS pressure is going to be ramped up. 87,000 new agents are budgeted inside this bill. The National Taxpayers Union President, Brandon Arnold, says the IRS agents coming on board will be under pressure to help meet some certain goals.
How much juice can you get out of a lemon? And the answer is, how hard are you willing to squeeze? So how hard are they willing to squeeze taxpayers? You know, right now, I think the most likely course of action here is an increase in audits, of course, but it's also an increase in the number of letters that they send off to small businesses, taxpayers of all economic backgrounds, saying, hey, we found something that we find suspicious or something that doesn't match up to the numbers that we have on record for you. We think you owe an extra $200, an extra $2,000, whatever that number is. And a lot of taxpayers don't want to fight the IRS. They don't have the time. They don't have the money to fight the IRS. So they'll roll over and pay those relatively small amounts. And that'll squeeze a lot of money out of taxpayers.
Would that be you? Do you have a staff of attorneys on retainer for your family or your small business? And yes, those under $400,000 will be among those targeted. Well, I thought Joe Biden said nobody under 400,000 will. May I ask again, with your permission, who do you trust? The state of Florida has a CFO, that's the chief financial officer for the state of Florida, Jimmy Patronis. And he says, in Florida, we're not going to let these IRS agents just kind of run like it's the Wild West for them.
Florida, we're going to do four plans this coming legislative session. We're going to make all state charter banks report when these audits take place. We're going to force all these new IRS agents to be licensed so we know who they are. And those fees, we're going to create a fund in order to create a defense mechanism for those being persecuted. And if we see the same thing we saw in 2013, where they targeted Tea Party groups, where they admitted they targeted Tea Party groups, we're going to create criminal charges to go after them.
Now, that's very interesting. First, he's right. Yes, we know the rogue agents that were targeting Tea Party, anybody that had a name conservative in them or Trump in their name, and they were seeking tax-exempt status from the IRS. You file your papers, pretty routine, and then you get a response in reasonable time, but not if you had the word conservative or Tea Party in your organization's name. No, they kind of got pushed aside. All of the liberal groups quickly got their 401, I mean, they got their tax exemption, so they could step out and immediately start raising money. But the agents not only did that, then they began to target other groups that might have that in their name and saying, you know, they might need to be audited. There are those that say, look, I don't know if I want to get into this battle. I mean, if the IRS comes after me and it's a matter of, you know, maybe it's a few hundred. I don't really have that, but how much more do I have that I want to spend to fight them off? Do I fight them off? Well, in the state of Florida, apparently they're going to gather with those victims and maybe go criminal charges against the IRS agents. Can they do that? Would that be overstepping federal and state law at the same time? That, of course, will have to be challenged as well. But Jimmy Patronis, who serves as the state of Florida chief financial officer, says, we all know what the ultimate plot is.
Pelosi and Schumer have pushed all this out because they know in November their clocks are getting cleaned. So you know what? They're going to go and create this massive agenda. At the end of the day, look at what is happening in Washington. And these guys are pushing out an agenda that nobody is asking for. $700 billion of new printed money. All that's going to do is, again, expand the inflation problem we've already got in our nation. And it's so sad that these are people. I mean, I feel like they should be arrested because they're spending our children and our grandchildren's money without their permission. They are saddling them with debt.
Yeah, that is very clear. If you believe nothing else, know that your children, your grandchildren are going to be paying for what the Democrats are putting in place with the president's signature today. The option? Replace those in the White House. Shore up the Republican conservative numbers in the Senate and House. And undo this legislation. That's what it's going to take. There will be court battles otherwise that drag on, and they will continue to harass and come after you. Whether or not the state of Florida can actually file criminal charges against IRS agents, if they can do that criminally, that'll be challenged. It'll go forever. But if you're the taxpayer in the middle, you're still getting kicked. I would tell you personally, I learned decades ago, you don't walk up on a sleeping horse or mule. You'll get kicked pretty damn hard. Now, I want you to make sure you don't go to sleep in this, that you stay aware and awake of what's going on and what their ultimate goal is. Not only for your protection and your family today, but for your family's future, our country's future. Now, regarding these 87,000 agents, this is a very interesting question that got posed. I want to share with you. The question is being raised of the taxpayer president, taxpayers union president, that you were listening to a moment ago, and he was explaining it's just not going to work. It's not going to, you can't believe the Democrats, Brandon Arnold. But he was asked by Mark Tepper, who is head of Strategic Wealth, a question referenced this bill supposedly going to immediately put in effect that we can hire 87,000 new IRS agents. And the question and answer, don't smile. Here it comes.
Where's the IRS going to find in today's job market with a 3.5% unemployment rate? Where's the IRS going to find 87,000 people who can fog a mirror, let alone have a vast understanding of the most complicated code in the United States?
Well, yeah, that's another great question, because the IRS is actually trying to hire people as we speak, and they've done miserably at it. They're way behind on their hiring targets that they started this year with, in part trying to close some of this taxpayer assistance gap that they have, because they're doing such a horrible job in answering the phones. It takes them 8 months to get back to people if you write them a letter asking a question about a tax issue that you may have. They're trying to address that because Congress gave them $2 billion, but they've done a lousy job not only of helping taxpayers, but also of bringing more staff on board. The notion that they can hire 87,000 new individuals, even over the course of several years, is highly suspicious.
Highly suspicious. But the ones they do hire do have a mission. Get us some money in here as fast as you can. Even Bernie Sanders, Senator Independent from Vermont, says this is going to have a minimal impact on inflation. And the anger continues against those FBI agents who raided Trump.
I said, brother, if you only knew, you'd wish that you were in my shoes. You just keep on using me until you use me up.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I've been through all of these firestorms over the year. I've never seen America more mad than it is right now. There's only so many times you can cry wolf. People are not buying the sham in the country. They see the weaponization of the FBI. They're calling it the police state in this country. People get this for what it is, Sean. They've removed the wool from people's eyes, and people know exactly what's going on. They're targeting Donald Trump. They're targeting his family. They're targeting everybody around him. They're targeting his lawyers. Anybody that's close to Donald Trump, anybody who's effective, they're targeting right now. And people understand this for exactly what it's worth.
That's Eric Trump is appearing on Sean Hannity last night. Yesterday, Trump said we need to cool the temperatures a little bit. Reference the angst and anger that's been building since the raid on his home, his estate in Florida. Not just the fact that there was a raid, but on what reasoning, and then taking things that were not supposed to be taken. We'll get to that in just a moment. But also adding to the fear that we need to kind of calm the nation down, and I would do the same. If you think threatening a federal law enforcement agency or individual is correct and will make things better, you're wrong. You're going to make things worse. And in fact, you will help the other side win November if you go down that road. That is akin to, yes, I know the other side did that 2 years ago, looting and arson and burning and firing and beating on police and throwing bottles of urine. I know they did all of that and attacking federal buildings. And they were just kind of, well, that's okay. They're just expressing their dismay and anger. You're not allowed to, not in that fashion, and you shouldn't. In fact, evangelical leader Franklin Graham issued his statement, a post on Facebook, saying that he was very upset with the circumstances surrounding the raid, but he also said we need to plead for God's intervention and a quick resolution to what he sees as being poisonous to our national character. He said we need God's help and we need to pray. He did write, the swamp in Washington is getting bigger. It will take God to drain it. Now, part of the allegations that came out of Trump when he was fighting against this raid that Merrick Garland would told you that was fully justified, but will not be transparent enough to let us see the affidavit. Trump's legal team quickly realized and pointed out that, you know, they were grabbing anything and everything, including passports belonging to Trump. Well, the state-controlled media said, oh, that's a laugh. They didn't do anything like that. They were wrong. They were wrong. Trump had said the FBI stole his passports at Mar-a-Lago. Even Norm O'Donnell, CBS News, quoted a DOJ official saying the former president's passports were not in their possession. But here comes the former president's communication director sharing an email from the top counterintel official in the Justice Department confirming, yes, we did seize three passports belonging to President Trump, two expired, one being his active diplomatic passport. We are returning them. So they did exactly what Trump claimed they did. I still also want to know about the security cameras in the house. The FBI told the staff to turn all the cameras off. Apparently they didn't. Are there tapes of them rummaging through Melania's closet, underwear drawer, and going through any and every room? This search warrant was so vague, they could grab up anything they considered might have value. I don't know what they expected to find in her underwear room or closet, but bottom line is, the raid gave them that authority. So that's why we need to see the affidavit. Coming up, I'm going to be joined by the Heritage constitutional expert, John Malcolm, on the basis for this FBI raid, questions around the affidavit, and also let's ask about if Florida can actually file criminal charges against IRS agents if they think they're playing cowboys. Stand by, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Some car dealers might try to take advantage of you. One quick way to spot it, look at the sticker price. Jay Ackerman told me, especially in these times, he wants to reward the generations of buyers and the new customers. So Ackerman Toyota sells every car at sticker price. No markup. What you see is what you pay. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So I have a lot of questions for my next guest, and he's an expert at constitutional issues, and I know he can answer all of them. John Malcolm from Heritage Foundation, welcome back aboard, sir.
It's good to be with you, and I'll try to answer all of them if I can.
I know you will. First of all, let's just get your initial reaction when you heard about this raid the other day at the Trump house in Mar-a-Lago.
Oh, look, I was amazed. This is a completely unprecedented action, and, you know, it evoked an immediate reaction from people on both sides of the political aisle, but it was a shocking thing to see. You know, the FBI never raided Hillary Clinton's home, the home she shared with another former president in Chappaqua, New York, when she had a server there that had classified information. It had been reported that the National Archives had gotten documents that former President Trump had voluntarily turned over, and that they were in, you know, ongoing discussions. So, it immediately hit me that there had to be some kind of a confidential informant who said when the president's not turning over everything that he has, and the stuff that he has is pretty damaging.
That,
in terms
and that's
of what disclosure would be.
Yeah, and that's why we want to see the affidavit, which I want to come to in a moment. But you mentioned the fact that originally the story was the National Archives has some records that they need. The president apparently isn't turning over. And then they started dropping the words for the state-controlled media to pick up. Could be some nuclear information included. Uh-oh, might have launch codes. And then on top of that, we find out that Merrick Garland waited weeks to approve the warrant once they decided to go forward with it. So if it was so pressing, so necessary, that you had to carry out a raid on a Friday, right after Congress leaves, Ray goes out of town on vacation, Biden's on vacation, and it just happens to fall on that day, but it was perilous situation.
Yeah, well, I, of course, have no idea what the nature of the information is. It's been rumored that it has something to do with nuclear weapons, whether it's our nuclear weapons or Iran's or North Korea's.
Or if it does at all.
I don't know. Yeah, you know, or if it does at all. Obviously, the search warrant affidavit would show that. The only thing I know are, you know, the kinds of documents that they were looking for, national defense information or classified records, what the level of classification markings on the documents that are in the inventory that was provided. Of course, President Trump claims that they had all been declassified, and the alleged crimes that were possibly committed. That is all evident from the face of the warrant and from the inventory. But as you correctly say, all of the critical information about, you know, the nature of the documents and why the FBI and Department of Justice felt they needed to seize this stuff via a search warrant rather than request that he voluntarily turn it over, that is all going to be in the affidavit.
And so let's,
I don't think it's going to be unsealed, but we'll see.
All right. Well, again, Garland the other day said we're going to be fully transparent. And then he was saying, yeah, we'll make everything available. And so the Trump team and even major news organizations, including CNN and NNN and the rest of the state-controlled media, saying, yeah, we want to see that too. And now suddenly the Department of Justice, which operates under Garland, has attorneys fighting to keep it from being unsealed when he said, we will show everything. And they're going back to the same judge that signed off on the warrant to make the decision. What do you expect?
Well, look, there was no way they were going to unseal that affidavit voluntarily. I mean, one, if there is a confidential informant, as I assume there is, you'd probably be able to determine who the confidential informant is once that affidavit was unsealed. And you would certainly know the nature of, you know, the records that they were seeking. There's just no way they were going to voluntarily disclose it. I'm not sure they'll ever disclose it. Obviously, if a court orders them to, they'll have to, although they would conceivably drop the whole matter before unsealing that stuff. That it goes before the same magistrate judge who signed the warrant isn't surprising. I mean, that's typically what would happen. But, of course, any ruling that he makes can be appealed to a federal district court judge in that same district.
You're listening to John Malcolm of the Heritage Foundation. Now, to that extent, normally an affidavit would not be released unless criminal charges are filed correctly. So if there are no charges, then, as you said, it would just disappear. But since we've seen how the Christopher dossier was bannered around and lied to get FISA warrants, there raises a lot of questions for the American public, and the public as a whole deserves an answer. If you've got CNN asking to see it, I think they also agree we need some solid answers here.
Well, look, I do think that the people deserve answers, and I think if the Republicans take control of either house of Congress after the midterms, they will hold vigorous oversight hearings. That media outlets want to see more information than the government is willing to disclose is certainly no surprise. That happens virtually every day. And you're right.
But not if it's going to be to raise Trump's credibility, which it might well be if we open up that affidavit.
Well, I have no idea what's in that affidavit, so I don't know whether it would help or hurt Trump. I can understand, though, why the government is resisting disclosing it. It would have shocked me if they had agreed to disclose it. But we'll see what a magistrate judge does. And ultimately, if there are allegations that this was a completely bogus investigation, then somebody ought to look into it, including the Department of Justice's Inspector General, who is somebody whom I know and I actually hold in fairly high regard. Maybe there'll be another special counsel a la John Durham
who will
be appointed to look at that sort of thing, but we'll have to see.
Well, Trump also claims they took a client protective material between he and his attorneys, yeah. and they were asking the DOJ and Garland's office, would you be willing to have a unbiased party, a third party, review these documents, see if they are client privilege or not, and they denied that.
Yeah, I was a little bit surprised by that. It's not necessarily an unbiased party. What it is called a taint team, which is it would be another group of attorneys unrelated to the underlying investigation to take a look at this stuff to see whether or not there is any attorney-client privileged material. But that is a matter that the president, former president, will ultimately be able to litigate, if, depending on where this thing goes.
I want to raise another question, and this I don't mean to catch you off guard. I don't know if you're familiar with the state chief financial officer has proposed doing when it comes to the IRS agents. He said, we're not going to let them run roughshod over our people under this bill being signed today, and that if they are, we will be filing criminal action, the state of Florida filing criminal action against federal IRS agents. Does anything in there say, you can't do that?
Well, I know nothing about the matter you just raised other than to say that there are IRS agents who are criminal investigators. They do occasionally execute search warrants. And the like. Of course, they're not allowed to commit criminal acts, but on the other hand, state officials are not allowed to interfere with federal law enforcement officials who are investigating federal crimes. So I'm not exactly sure what the state authorities are talking about. You know, certainly if there are violations of state law, then, you know, they can look into that. But under the Supremacy Clause, federal officials are allowed to enforce federal laws, and like it or not, that includes IRS agents, some of whom carry guns.
Yeah, and that was the other issue the other day when that came up. I point out it's not uncommon for some, depending upon their actual position. Many are behind calculators and computers all day, but you've got the other IRS right. agents that are going into some dangerous drug territory along with the FBI and other law enforcement, and yes, they do need those weapons. So I'm not really sure what the state of Florida plans other than he claims that they will file criminal charges against any agents that they think are abusing businesses because they continue to hound and batter them when they have no reason. That will have to be, as you said, decided in court. One other question right. along this line is, what kind of precedent have we now set? We've never had a raid upon a president's house before. So if it happens again, well, we can say, oh, it happened once before with Donald Trump anyway.
Yeah, well, look, every new action like this, you shake your head and then it creates a new precedent. I mean, we had two impeachments of presidents before, neither of which were convicted, and now the last one had two impeachments. He wasn't convicted of either of those. So impeachment may be more of a weapon that's used in the future, and I suppose possibly searches of former presidents' homes may be a weapon to use in the
How
future.
How much do you think
Each
this
one had, of these presidents – go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I stepped on you. How much do you think all of this has damaged the credibility of – as I raised for an audience earlier, who do you trust, the Biden White House, the DOJ, the AG, the FBI, IRS? Who do you trust?
Well, look, you know, the FBI, its reputation has been damaged in a lot of circles, and a lot of people don't trust them. I mean, on the heels of the Trump-Russian collusion investigation, of course, which went nowhere, the whistleblower reports that the FBI tried to shut down the Hunter Biden laptop, investigation, you know, you have the FBI issuing memos calling people who are, you know, parents who are showing up at school board meetings to
right.
protest sexually explicit material, critical race theory in the schools, and COVID restrictions as possible domestic terrorists. I think that if the FBI is going to get involved in these politically fraught matters, they need to be a lot more forthcoming about the evidence they have in their possession that led them to take these dramatic actions. And I think their silence ends up in the long run hurting them.
I appreciate John Malcolm, and we went way beyond our normal scope of our question, but I appreciate you sharing your thoughts, sir.
My pleasure, Larry. Thanks
you
for
bet.
Having me on.
You bet. John Malcolm of the Heritage Foundation. Coming up, a question raised to Mayor of D.C., Bowser, and she refutes the question, says the information's wrong, but it's her information.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
The other day, some listeners saw me in Cafe Napoli, and one said, "We see you here all the time." I said, "Yes, you do. I am the Cafe Napoli ambassador." Truth is, I've been a Napoli customer for decades, when there was only the Clayton location, then Town and Country, now St. Charles. Trust me, you'll enjoy great food, drinks, service. Cafe Napoli, Clayton, Town and Country, streets of St. Charles. And tell them the Cafe Napoli ambassador sent you.
Got me waking, bone man, waking around the fire. I want a little rain or water. That you want it, Jimmy Star, big boy. Can't you hear me when I call?
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
My name is Doug Blair with the Daily Signal, and the question I have is that we have reporting that around 40% of black students in the district are unvaccinated, and therefore, under the district's current policy regarding schools, will be unable to attend school come the school semester starting. So why is the district continuing with this policy when it seems to disproportionately impact black students?
I don't think that that number is correct. We have a substantially fewer number of kids that we have to engage with vaccination. And I explained why it's important. It's important for the public health of our students and that we can maintain safe environments.
That was a question raised by Douglas Blair on behalf of the Daily Signal. And he was asking Mayor Bowser about the numbers, and the numbers he cited, they were her numbers. They were her numbers from her office, which she said, I think that's incorrect. And then she goes off on this, engage students with vaccination. What, you start talking doublespeak like that, you're just trying to cover up more and drag out your answer and make it look like you answered something. Let's go to the facts. The data, according to the Daily Signal, and they got it from Mayor Bowser's office, 60% of black kids aged 12 to 17 in D.C. have received a complete COVID-19 vaccine regimen, I should say. Meaning 40% are unvaccinated, which was exactly the question Blair asked. What are you going to do about these 40% unvaccinated? Oh, I don't think that number's correct. We have engaged vaccinations with those, blah, 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 blah. Per the D.C. Office State Superintendent of Education website, beginning in the 2022-23 school year, COVID vaccine is required for school enrollment and attendance in the District of Columbia for all students who are of age for which is a COVID-19 vaccine fully approved by the U.S. FDA. And as of right now, D.C. students ages 12 and up will have to be vaccinated or not be able to attend the school in person. And it requires, based upon that, that D.C. now is an outlier in the nation because no other large school districts are requiring vaccinations to attend school in person. They are recommending but not requiring. So the Daily Signal is asking the mayor, Douglas Blair, asking specifically whether or not it's appropriate to respond to kids who aren't vaccinated by forcing them to attend school virtually. And she replied, you never heard me say that. What she did say is, I don't believe the numbers you're giving me are correct. They're your numbers, Mayor Bowser. This is so typical of the left. They will spin and peddle lies, but then when you present the fact, even their own facts in front of them, I'm washing my hands of that. Good question, Blair. I'm glad you got to her and showed her up for what they're doing up there. Somebody needs to do the same to San Francisco Mayor London Breed. She was among many of these liberal politicians from coast to coast in 2020 talking about defunding police. Well, we know what happens when you do that. So now, in an announcement she made, well, let's go back to 2020. She said, we will redirect $120 million from law enforcement to support priorities over the next 2 years, $120 million. That was her announcement July 31, 2020 in San Francisco. They want to divert the money to leaders that were going to use them for other things other than funding police. Take money from police and sheriff's department and fund initiatives for black Americans in the Golden City. Just black Americans? You got a lot of Mexican? You got a lot of Chinese, Indian, Pakistani, but just black Americans. That was the intent. Is that right? 120 million? Of course, that was not the only city that did that. You saw Congresswoman Ilhan Omar and others, such as Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, saying when we say defund, we don't mean just take money away. We mean shut them down, shut down the police departments. Well, they've done that to a large extent. And we've seen what happened in San Francisco very clearly on a daily basis. They're smash and grab crimes. They just walk now resorted to we just walk in and pick up what we want, walk out. Nobody's going to stop us. And if they stop us, what are they going to do? They're going to turn us loose, of course. And, of course, experts have been following what this has done to the crime pattern across the nation, and it's not a pretty picture. Plus the morale in police departments, severely damaged. And then officers saying, I'm out of here, I'm going somewhere else, or just going into something else. And who wants to be a cop nowadays if you're going to be constantly slandered and slurred by your city officials and say that what you're doing is not worthwhile? But the same Democrats who make those remarks will be the first ones to call out that they need security. You, the common citizen, you, not so much. And in fact, Georgia gubernatorial Democrat nominee Stacey Abrams co-chaired a racial justice organization that gave out tens of thousands of dollars to activists who wanted to not just defund, but abolish the police. No, there's no common sense here. Don't even bother looking for it. You're wasting your time, I promise you. I promise you. I also promise you, you don't want to miss the second hour coming up as we focus more on cooling down the fear of IRS agents.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.